Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Kahan, and I'm excited to learn Sefer Bamidbar with you. Today we'll be learning Parshat Naso. Toward the beginning of Parshat Naso, we find an interesting list of mitzvot that at first glance have little to do with each other or with the surrounding narrative of the Torah. Bamidbar Perek He opens with the commandment to send out of the camp people who have contracted certain forms of impurity, specifically the Metzora, who has leprosy, the Zav, who's had a certain kind of discharge that causes impurity, and the Tamei Meit, who has become impure through contact with a dead body. The Torah then goes on to discuss three separate, seemingly unrelated, areas of halacha. First, the Torah teaches the halacha of Gezel Hager. This halacha is that if a person steals from someone who has no relatives to inherit his property, and the thief swears falsely about having stolen, and later on the victim dies, then the thief has to pay back a kohen in place of the deceased in order to achieve atonement, since the victim had no relatives, and he also has to bring a karban asham. The Torah then sets forth the halachot of sota, of a woman who's suspected by her husband of having committed adultery and goes through a ritual process that establishes her guilt or her innocence. Finally, we learn the halachot of a nazir, who takes upon him or herself the stringencies of not consuming grape products, not cutting one's hair, and not coming in contact with the dead as part of a process of attempting to achieve a higher level of holiness and draw closer to Hashem. When reading this section of Parshat Naso, it's hard to understand what the relationship is between these mitzvot and what they have to do with what happened earlier in Sefer Bamidbar and what comes next. I'd like to explore together three ways of understanding the connection of these mitzvot to each other and to the surrounding narrative, and the meaning and inspiration that we can draw from them in building our own communities. Let's first turn to the interpretation of the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel finds a connection between these mitzvot and everything in Sefer Bamidbar that preceded them, the account of the census and the establishment of the camps. In the eyes of the Abarbanel, the purpose of this whole section of the Torah is to describe how to establish a Jewish community based on Kedusha and Tahara. Parshat Bamidbar discussed the establishment and organization of the community through the census and the setting up of the encampments. This physical organization of the community leads into the halachot in our parsha of sending those who have contracted ritual impurity outside of the camp. This area of halacha serves to preserve the tahara of the community by temporarily distancing those who are ritually impure until they've returned to a state of ritual purity. I do think it's always important when thinking about the halachot of sending ritually impure people out of the camp, that this is explicitly a stage of a process that's ultimately designed to allow them to rejoin the community and isn't meant to convey an ethic of exclusivity with regard to our communities. The Parsha then segues into a few halachic sections that hinge on more metaphysical manifestations of communal sanctity. First, there's the halacha of Gezel Hager. This halacha is a reflection of the central role of Kohanim in the community, and teaches us that Hashem doesn't just distance those who are ritually impure, but those who are ethically impure, such as thieves. And at the same time, he draws close and protects Geirim, who voluntarily embrace Hashem and the Torah. So the halachot of Gezel Hager represent the centrality of the kahuna, as well as the way that a holy community is set up to distance those who do violence to others and draw near those who seek the ways of Hashem. Next comes the discussion of the halachot of Sota, which serve to ensure the sanctity and purity of the family. This leads into the halachot of Nazir, which represent the potential for a person to aspire to a more elevated and demanding standard of Kedusha. The Torah commands that there be a place in the community for those who aspire to that higher level of Kedusha. So in the eyes of the Abarbanel, the Parshiot of Bamidbar and Naso are all about how to set up the community in a way that practically and metaphysically embodies Kedusha, both by distancing those who are ritually or ethically impure, and by embracing and making a place for those who, like Geirim and Nazirim, aspire to loftier experiences of Kedusha. As B'nai Yisrael organize themselves nationally in preparation for entry into Eretz Yisrael, these ideas about communal holiness are of the greatest relevance and importance. Let's turn now to the interpretation of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Like the Abarbanel, Rav Hirsch believes that Bamidbar and Naso convey Judaism's central ideas about communal Kedusha, but in different ways. Rav Hirsch suggests that in Parshat Bamidbar, the Jewish people is set up as a nation with a mikdash in the center, surrounded by the Levium, who are in turn surrounded by the rest of the people. This represents the ideal Torah society, in which the entire nation builds its life around the Torah that is the pulsing heart of Am Yisrael. The mitzvot of Naso represent the culmination and fulfillment of building a community of sanctity. While the censuses and setting up the encampments in Parshat Bamidbar were the responsibility of the leaders of the people, these mitzvot in Naso are the responsibility of all of Am Yisrael. First, Parshat Naso commands to send out of the camp Mitzrayim, Zavim, and Tmei Meis. Based on the Gemara in Pesachim, Samechet Amud Aleph, Rav Hirsch explains that these forms of Tumah are presented in descending order of severity. The impurity of Mitzrayim is the most grave, and the Mitzrayim were expelled from the entire camp, including the Machne Shechina, which was the center and the domain of the Mikdash, the Machne Leviah surrounding it, and the Machne Yisrael surrounding that. Zavim were sort of one step down. They were expelled from the Machne Shechina and the Machne Leviah, but not the Machne Yisrael. And people who were Tamei Meis were only excluded from the Machne Shechina. Rav Hirsch explains that this order makes sense logically and metaphysically. Tzara'as is understood by Chazal to be a punishment for social sins, especially the sin of Lashon Hara. That's why Mitzorayim were excluded from society completely, represented by the Machne Yisrael where the nation lived. The Zav, in the eyes of Rav Hirsch, represents all impurities that come from the body and is connected to the laws of purity and marriage. This area of halacha is connected symbolically to the Leviah, because in Rav Hirsch's view, the first and foremost way that a person can elevate him or herself spiritually after he's acquired sort of basic social ethics is to maintain morality and refinement in his or her most intimate relationships. Someone who seeks closeness to Hashem but doesn't approach his or her partner with dignity and sanctity has missed the point completely. Since Leviim represent that striving for a higher level of purity and spirituality, their machne symbolically excludes those who carry an impurity associated with intimate relationships. Finally, there is the Tmei Meis. Rav Hirsch explains that in pagan religions, death represents the power of the gods as manifest in man's helplessness to conquer death. Judaism, by contrast, takes the opposite approach. In Judaism, Hashem's greatness is reflected not in man's helplessness, but in man's dignity. As long as a human being is alive, he or she has freedom of choice, and that freedom is the spark of God within the human being. The living person who makes the difficult choices necessary to live a moral life brings praise and glory to Hashem, not the person who is no longer living. Thus, the Tmei Meis is excluded from the Machne Shechina to represent that in death, there is no service or glorification of God. So these different halachot about expelling Mitzrayim, Zavim, and Tmei Meis teach us three of the central values of the Jewish vision of community: the significance of social ethics, of refinement in one's most intimate relationships, and of serving Hashem through our free choice and exercise of dignity. If we imagine the Jewish community as an edifice, the foundation is social ethics. And that's why the Mitzorah is excluded entirely from the community. The next level represents personal refinement in intimate relationships. And the level above that is striving to glorify Hashem through the range of one's personal moral choices. Rav Hirsch also then says that these same values are manifest in a more practical way in the following halachot of Gezel, Hager, Sota, and Nazir. He thinks that each of these correspond to one of the forms of Tumah. The halachot of Gezel Hager protects the vulnerable of society, the gerim who have no relatives in the community. This halacha, like the expulsion of the Mitzorah from the Machne Yisrael, teaches us that our social relationships and responsibilities to each other are vastly important in the eyes of Hashem, and that Hashem dwells in our community when we treat others ethically and with dignity. One might ask why Gezel Hager is connected to Mitzorah and represents the domain of social ethics more than any of the other mitzvot of the Torah that teach sensitivity and morality toward the vulnerable of society, like Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mechshol, for example. I think that perhaps Gezel Hager was selected because the ger in this halacha has no relatives in the community and feels isolated, just like the Mitzorah is expelled from the community completely. And that might explain the correspondence between the two. The halachot of Sota are connected and correspond to the expulsion of the Zav from the Machne Leviah, because the halachot of Sota teaches that the Shechina rests upon a community in marriage when they approach their relationship in a spirit of refinement and sanctity, which is very similar to the message of the expulsion of the Zav from the Machne Leviyah. The halachot of Nazir teach that each person has the capacity to make his or her own moral and spiritual choices, which is the same message of Tumat Mate, according to Rav Hirsch. Even someone who's not born as a Kohen or Levi can strive and choose to live according to a higher standard of holiness. This is the same notion that underlies Tumat Mate, that Hashem is present in the lives of every individual person who strives for moral greatness. Rav Hirsch, like the Abarbanel, believes that the halachot of Naso convey fundamental messages about Jewish views of sanctity and morality. But the messages that he finds in the halachot are a little different. In the eyes of the Abarbanel, the parshiot of Bamidbar and Naso are about the establishment and organization of the community in a way that embodies holiness through distancing those who are ritually or ethically impure and embracing those who, like Gerim and Nazirim, seek Hashem and strive for greater sanctity. In the eyes of Rav Hirsch, the messages of these halachot are in some ways similar, but also more subtle. The specific halachot of expelling the Metzora, Zav, and Tmei Meit teach us that the centrality of social ethics, sanctity in marriage, and the dignity of moral free choice. Moreover, these function as ascending levels in which the most basic demand of the Torah is the dignified ethical treatment of others, especially the vulnerable, and each of the other two values represent higher, more rarefied levels of Avodat Hashem. The halachot of Gezel Hager, Sota, and Nazir correspond to these different messages of the Tumot and further communicate these fundamental ideas of Judaism. We learn from the Abarbanel and Rav Hirsch about two different perspectives on the fundamental values that enable us to build a community of sanctity. I'd now like to consider one final way of understanding the significance of these halachot to this juncture of the Torah in light of the Pshat. One common element of all of the halachic topics we've seen in Parshat Naso is the centrality of the Mikdash. As we learned from Rav Hirsch, all of those who are expelled from the camp are expelled from the Machne Shechina, the realm of the Mikdash. The Metzora and Zav are also expelled from other parts of the camp, but all three categories of impurity entail expulsion from the Machne Shechina, the environs of the Mikdash. In the laws of Gezel Hager, Sota, and Nazir, the one easily identified common element is the central role played by the Kohuna and the Mikdash. The thief in the section of Gezel Hager gives restitution to the Kohen and brings a Karban Hashem. The entire ritual of Sota is performed by the Kohen in the Mikdash, Lifnei Hashem. For the Nazir, at the conclusion of his Nazirut, the Kohen brings a Chatat and an Ola on his behalf. It's clear that the Mikdash and Kahuna are central shared elements of these halachot. So at the Pshat level, it seems clear that the Parshiot of Bamidbar and Naso focus on the Mikdash as the heart of the community. In Parshat Bamidbar, the people are counted and their encampments are set up encircling the Mikdash that lies at the heart of the nation. In Naso, those who are impure are expelled from the environs of the Mikdash, and then the Torah sets forth halachot that represent the centrality of the Mikdash. The centrality of the Mikdash here is different than in the many previous parshiot that discuss the Mikdash in the Torah. In the parshiot of Shmot and Vayikra that focus on the Mikdash, the purpose is really to discuss the avoda of the Mikdash. Here in Naso, the point isn't really the avoda of the Mikdash, but how the Mikdash functions as the center of the community and helps the community solve social problems and lead religious lives. The Mikdash provides solutions to problems like the oppression of the ger and marital discord, and it allows people to strive for Kedusha through mechanisms like Nizirut. The Mikdash, and specifically the Aron, are so significant at this point of Bnei Yisrael's history, in part because it's the Aron that will lead Bnei Yisrael to victory as they enter Eretz Yisrael. The Midrash Tanchuma on Parshat Vayakhel says, Re'eh mah Aron chaviv, shamishkan kulo lo na'asa ela bishvil ha'aron, shashchina betocho. Observe how beloved the Aron was, from the fact that the entire sanctuary was built because of the ark in which the Shekhinah resided. V'chol ha'nisim shehayu na'asim li'Yisrael, ba'aron hayu na'asim, l'fi sheha'Shekhinah betocho. And all of the miracles that were performed for Israel occurred by virtue of the ark in which the Shekhinah dwelt. Re'eh ma'ktiv bo, ba'aron brit Hashem nosea lifnehem derech shloshet yamim lator lehem menucha. V'haya horeg nechashim v'akrabim v'soref et hakotzin v'horeg sonehen shel Yisrael. Notice that it is written concerning it, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them 3 days' journey, to to seek out a resting place for them. It said that later in Bamidbar Yud. It killed the snakes and scorpions, burned the thorns, and destroyed the enemies of Israel. This is the same idea expressed in Bamidbar Yud in the famous psukim that we say in Shul when we open the Aron. Vayhi b'nsoa ha'aron, vayomer Moshe, kuma Hashem v'yafutzo oyvecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, uvenucho yomar k'shuvah Hashem revivot alfei Yisrael. When the ark traveled, Moshe would say, "Arise, Hashem, and may your enemies disperse, and may those who hate you flee from before you." And when it rested, he would say, "Give tranquility, Hashem, to the myriads of thousands of Israel." I want to acknowledge that these translations of the Psukim and the Midrash are taken from alhatorah.org. It's clear from this Midrash and these Psukim that the Aron was meant to lead Bnei Yisrael to victory against their enemies. These psukim that are so familiar to us are essentially the battle cry of the Aron. The significance of the Aron in Bamidbar and Naso is not only that it represents the centrality of Torah to the Jewish community throughout all times and places, but that it represents Bnei Yisrael's preparations for entering and conquering Eretz Yisrael, a process that at this point in Sefer Bamidbar, they believe will happen in just a few weeks, and that will also be led and inspired by the Aron. I think that the Torah teaches us in this section profound lessons about community building. We've seen a few different ways of understanding the meaning and messages of these halachot, but the Pshat makes it clear that the underlying idea of all of these approaches is that of a community centered around the Mikdash and Torah in which everyone has a responsibility, tzavet b'nei Yisrael, to engage and grapple with the ethical and social challenges that arise and to build communities dedicated to sanctity, to protecting the vulnerable of society, and to honoring people's aspirations and growing closer to Hashem. Shabbat Shalom.